Do you feel all right, ma'am?
Hmm? Oh, yes, certainly. It's just that I've read so often about you and Batman. Well, the experience of actually viewing you in the flesh is faintly... faint-making.
Please, Miss Stoneman, there's no reason to be disturbed.
That's right. Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
She wanted to know. The sister of the Penguin was there. No, it was not Catwoman. This was not a villainess. This was a believer. This is a very lovely woman who I think was playing devil's advocate. Advocate of the devil. I want to be advocate of the devil tonight. Very well, you are advocate of the devil. And she asked a good question. People ask this all the time. If God controls us ultimately, if there is no free will. I did bring this up. By the way, I should mention this. Have I mentioned this before? The damning word in the phrase free will is not the word will, it's the word free. We do have wills. We make decisions all the time. They're just influenced. If they're not influenced, then they truly are free. But if a will is free and not influenced, that means that not even God influences that will. Not God, not Satan, not anything. A free will is an uninfluenced will. And yet I got the Penguin to admit that he was under all kinds of influence. His nationality, his gender, what he ate that day. But according to him, no matter what all these influences are working on him, all these dominoes, is the analogy I gave, all these dominoes are falling, 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 and yet at the very last, you can withstand and resist everything that went before. He says, that's right. Woo! That means that all influences at that point stop, and you are truly not under God's control at that point. You're not. The last domino must fall. It must, my friends. God is behind all influences. You heard it here today, maybe for the first time. God is behind all influences. He has a big desk. The buck stops here. And you will react to the strongest influence. And God is the author of all influences, in case I haven't said it before. You're not going to forget it. So there was Catwoman. No, I can't call her Catwoman. This is a lovely lady. It says, why the exhortations in Scripture? Now, here's the assumption. Did I finish my last point? I don't even know. I did? Good. Here's the assumption most people make, that because there are exhortations in Scripture, we must be able to do it. That's not true. That's an assumption. And here's the example I gave. I asked a pretty darn good question after I asked a what percentage question. I said, what would you do if someone came to you with these two opposing Scriptures? Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, seek and you shall find. I said, now, what if somebody came up to you with this? They quoted you Matthew 7:7, seek and you shall find. Then they quoted you Romans 3:11, not one is seeking out God. They didn't know how to answer it. They said, how would you answer it? That's exactly what I wanted them to ask me. I said, here's how you answer it. Jesus is asking people to do an impossible thing. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's fair if his purpose is to show that with man, salvation is impossible. And didn't he say that very thing? Talked about the rich man entering into the kingdom of heaven. A camel was more apt to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. His disciple says, who can be saved? Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So he says, seek me, you shall find me. It's impossible for man to do this apart from God. People assume that these exhortations are a means for the human to show God what he can do. That is not true. Exhortations in Scripture, do the right thing, do this, seek me, are an opportunity for God to show what he can do through the human. What a difference between giving you an opportunity to show God what you can do and giving God an opportunity to show what he can do through you. Jesus purposely asked people to do something impossible, seek me, in order for God to animate the individual and give them the faith. here is the, I call it the absolute and the relative. The relative is, yes, you make decisions. The relative is, yes, you seek God. The absolute is, no one can seek God unless God draws him. The absolute is that it's God causing these things to happen. God is the one making it happen. What's so hard about saying that and admitting it? To me, it's comforting. I got a great verse for you that explains the whole thing in a nutshell. Then I got to get out of here. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. I may have shared this with you before. Be carrying your own salvation into effect. Free will people love that. Verse C says right here, be carrying your own salvation into effect. They hate the very next phrase because that explains it. For it is God operating in you to will as well as to work for the sake of his delight. See, the first verse is looking through the knot hole. Carry your own salvation into effect. For, remember I told you how important those fours were? For it is God working in you, operating in you, to will as well as to work for the sake of his delight. That isn't the knot hole anymore. That's looking over the fence. God is operating in you to will. And if he is doing that, which scripture plainly says he is, then you cannot be free. If he is operating in you to will, it's like a hand going inside the puppet. Be like, we're not a puppets. We're not puppets. You're right. We're not puppets. We're clay. God is animating your clay. He is working in you to will. He's causing you to believe. Romans 12:3, Philippians 1:29. It's God all the way. You got a problem with that? I wouldn't know why. This is Martin Zender. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. Have a great life.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.